Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, August 30th, 2024. Relatives of missing persons in South Sudan say they are grateful to the International Committee of the Red Cross.
For us, the search process continues. So every year people come to us, every year people open new cases, and every year people get located.
And some farmers in Central Equatorial State say they are enjoying the fruits of their hard work.
This year, groundnut production is good. There was some absence of rain in May, but later it rained and half our groundnut grew well.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan is marking the International Day of the Disappeared. Families of disappeared persons are supported to express their feelings for the losses of their relatives from conflict, immigration, natural disaster, and other violence across South Sudan. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from Torit in Eastern Equatorial State.
The International Day of the Disappeared, marked on 30th August, helped raise awareness about the missing, honor their memory and their families, and help focus attention on need to respond to the issues of missing persons. Delphine Bamij is the International Committee of the Red Cross Deputy Coordinator in South Sudan, which works with the South Sudan Red Cross. She says more families in South Sudan are telling stories about their missing persons.
Since 2011, approximately 11,000 families have come forward. So they came to us, the ICRC, so the International Day Committee of the Red Cross, or the South Sudanese Red Cross, so to one of the two, because we were close together, and they reported a person missing. Now, out of those 11,000 families, so far we were able to locate approximately 5,000 people. So it still means that about 5,900 people were not yet located, but for us the search process continues. So every year people come to us, every year people open new cases, and every year people get located.
Rose Ito lives in the Ilugum Shabab in Torit, and she says her uncle and his children left the country to go to Kenya in 2021. She says she was able to locate him last month with help from the South Sudan Red Cross.
The Red Cross came to us asking that there is someone called Stephen Abung looking for his family. Me, I didn't know that in Red Cross, if you lose someone, you can look for them and find them. Then they gave us his number, but when we called, the number is not going through. He sent a message through Red Cross that he needed help from his family.
Another Torit town resident, Pascalina Ihiju, says his brother has been missing since 2012. She says her family still hopes he will return to them.
Up to now, we have not heard from him. He had joined the army of Khartoum when we returned back to South Sudan. Then we heard that he joined the army again. From there, we didn't know where he went. They said his troop was sent to Malakal.
Dominica Idwa, Eastern Equatorial State Director General in the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, says many missing persons in the state are identified by non-profit partners.
Yeah, the day is very important that when you recall the day your person get lost, you'll immediately know that this day is very important, so that you celebrate that by the time when this person got lost and recovered and brought back home, you need to celebrate, of course. You know, most of these parents celebrated when their children were brought back. And even when their people were brought back, they celebrated. Because others were already, like, conducted a funeral.
Dominica says some children from Kejikeji were recovered in Eastern Equatorial State and reunited with their parents. The International Committee of the Red Cross says under international humanitarian law, families of missing persons have the right to know what has happened to their loved ones, and states are obliged to provide them with answers and support. At the end of June, Africa had the highest number of missing persons cases registered with the International Committee of Red Cross, the highest number of the unaccompanied children, and the highest number of family reunification. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa, reporting from Torit, Eastern Equatorial State.
Millions of people of African descent around the world continue to be victims of systemic and structural racism and racial discrimination. That's according to the United Nations, as the world marks the International Day for People of African Descent. Tomorrow on Saturday, the UN says it's time for all countries to take decisive action against racism and racial discrimination. Maureen Ojiambo reports from Sacramento.
The United Nations says the rise in systemic and structural racism and racial discrimination is in breach of the prohibition against racial discrimination in the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, the Durban Declaration and Program of Action, and other international instruments. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the activism among the African diaspora has played a crucial role in overcoming injustices and bringing them to the world's attention. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, commented on Saturday's International Day on the struggle for equality.
Today we celebrate these contributions of people of African descent around the globe, and we recognize the extraordinary efforts of so many who are dedicated to building a better future for their communities, anchored in full respect for their human rights. My office and I as High Commissioner are committed to supporting people of African descent and everyone who stands up against racism.
Turk says racial equality must be integrated as a core principle of the global sustainable framework, including the UN's 23rd agenda, as well as climate and biodiversity policies, and that voices and perspectives of people of African descent be included in all discussions. According to the United Nations Population Fund, women and girls of African descent are subjected to racist attitudes in health sectors across the Americas, making childbirth less safe and increasing the risk of preventable maternal deaths. Jarbas Barbosa is the director of Pan-American Health Organization, PAHO.
People of African descent account for approximately 20% of the total population of the region of the Americas. However, their health and other needs are often underaddressed, resulting in important health inequities. For instance, in our region, people of African descent are 2.5 times more likely to live in conditions of poverty, and they often experience limited access to health services and higher rates of maternal and infant mortality.
Barbosa says policies should be adopted that recognize social participation and improve the health of African populations.
These inequities are rooted in historical exclusion, racism, and discrimination, which contribute to poor health outcomes and perpetuate precarious living conditions for a significant portion of this population. PAHO stands committed to improving health equity and the health and well-being of people of African descent in the Americas.
The UN calls on member states to fight racism and discrimination and build a world of equality, opportunity, and justice for all. For VOA Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in San Francisco.
From San Francisco, we move to Terekeka in central Equatorial State, where farmers are saying that they have had good harvest of granuts this farming season. One farmer says he plans to sell part of his harvest to pay school fees for his children. Another one says some families in his village will not need food aid for some times to come. The UN says over 7 million South Sudanese are food insecure. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Farmer Samuel Lujang says he managed to produce over 11 bags of groundnuts during this year's harvest.
This year, granite production is good. There was some absence of rain in May, but later it rained and helped our granite grow well. When there is rain, people of Turkey are all happy because of this granite. We are now waiting for sorghum to be ready to conclude that this year has a good season and our families will be okay.
Cecilia Kiden, another farmer in Terekeka, says she has plans for a good harvest.
The country has hunger, but with these groundnuts, we are going to split the seeds out and take it to the market and buy maize flour. We also sell them to pay for school fees of our children.
South Sudan's inflation in recent years has continued to devalue the country's currency against U.S. dollar, affecting residents of towns who buy food from markets. Peter Curry, another small-scale farmer, says some families in Terekeka are somewhat insulated from high food prices in the markets.
We don't think about this issue of dollar because we have cultivated groundnuts. We eat these groundnuts and collect leaves of green vegetable for food, and we don't care what the dollar is about.
Makurbol is a trader at Juba's Konyokonyo market. He says he has been buying groundnuts from farmers in Terkeka for some time.
Right now, we are receiving some product from neighboring communities like Kurijik and Mangala. But later, September 15th, groundnuts will be enough in the market.
Bol says plentiful groundnuts from farmers in central Equatorial State's Terkeka County has lowered the price of one sack from 90,000 to 40,000 South Sudanese pounds at Konyokonyo Market. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayer in Juba.
Still in South Sudan, the United States today announced visa sanctions on an unspecified number of individuals in South Sudan, including members of its government. The U.S. accused them of obstructing the delivery of humanitarian aid to the country. Governance in South Sudan has been undermined by corruption and ethnic fighting since a 2018 peace agreement ended 5 years of civil war. The U.S. State Department did not name the individuals it was sanctioning, only saying they participated in obstructing life-saving humanitarian aid through taxation of aid shipments. It added that the United States was deeply concerned about the failure of South Sudan's transitional government established in 2018 to fully implement its obligations under the peace agreement. The 2018 peace deal paved way for a power-sharing government and laid out a roadmap for political transition and elections. But in August 2022, South Sudan's leaders agreed to extend the transitional period for another 24 months, and elections have been tentatively set for December 22nd this year. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, armed drones have made their way into the hands of non-state actors. Find out how and why after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. In an interview with VOA, United Nations experts say terror groups in Africa are increasing their use of drones to carry out operations previously only possible to nation states. From Somalia to the Sahel, reporter Henry Wilkin looks at how this makes the work of African states fighting insurgencies even more difficult.
These drone images, which VOA has been unable to independently verify, purport to show Al-Shabaab's attack on an airport in Kenya in 2021. As well as the use of drones by the armed groups JNIM and ISWAP to coordinate attacks in Mali and Nigeria. According to UN experts, terror groups in Africa linked to Al-Qaeda and Islamic State are making increasing use of consumer drones to carry out operations. In an interview with VOA, Barbara Moraes Figueiredo, who authored a recent report on the trend for the UN's Institute for Disarmament Research, says this gives the terrorist groups improved surveillance and greater power.
Airborne capability, so allows them to have, you know, better view of the battle space and their operating environments, also provides them with a new way of being able to gather intelligence and in that way also to plan and coordinate attacks, you know, also sometimes with a higher degree of lethality and precision.
Experts point out that militaries fighting insurgencies and facing terrorist threats from the air for the first time are at a disadvantage. Karen Allen, a senior research advisor at the Institute for Security Studies, has written extensively on the subject of drone use by terror groups.
It conveys a significant psychological advantage to armed groups who in the past may have been at a disadvantage compared to regular armies. So it's leveled the playing field, if you like, between regular forces and irregular forces.
While it's unclear exactly how many incidences of drone use by terror groups there have been in Africa, instances have been recorded in Somalia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Nigeria, and Mozambique. Figueiredo says the Central Sahel has borne the brunt of the new trend, however, which has spread from IS and Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria to their affiliates in Africa. Allen adds that the use of drones by terror groups is difficult to stop because drones are easy to buy for civilian use on the internet.
I think there is a real difficulty in being able to stop the use of a technology which is a dual-use technology. I mean, think of a mobile phone. Mobile phone can be used most of the time to be able to communicate and have a completely benign purpose, but it can also be used to trigger a tripwire and to cause an ID to explode.
She adds that African nations need to invest in anti-drone systems. This may include tech that jams radio signals, disabling drones, and even anti-drone lasers. Henry Wilkins, VOA News.
Humanitarian officials say Israel will allow a series of daily humanitarian pauses for large-scale polio vaccination campaign in Gaza. The resurgence of the dangerous contagious virus is an alarming development in the besieged enclave where conflict has stripped out massive amounts of civilian infrastructure over 10 months of fighting. VOA's White House correspondent Anita Powell has the latest from Washington.
The nine-hour humanitarian pauses begin Sunday and will continue for 3 days with the aim of vaccinating about 640,000 children under the age of 10, the World Health Organization official told reporters on Thursday. More than 1.2 million doses of the oral polio vaccine have been delivered to Gaza, and another 400,000 are en route. Rick Papercorn is a WHO's representative in the Palestinian territories and spoke to reporters from Gaza.
I'm not going to say this is the ideal way forward, but this is a workable way forward. Not doing anything would be really bad. We have to stop this transmission in Gaza, and we have to avoid the transmission outside Gaza.
He said teams will begin in central Gaza and evaluate after 3 days if more time is needed. Then the teams would move south and finally north, with each area expected to take 3 to 5 days. The first polio case the exclave has seen in 25 years turned up last month. Here he is. His name is Abdul Rahman. His mother, Nevi Abdul Jedyan. He's not able to stand still, she said, or crawl like before. He was able to crawl all over the place. He's almost a year old now, and all babies should walk when they are 1 year old. But not Abdul Rahman. Not anymore. He used to walk, crawl, but not anymore.
He can't stand still or crawl like he used to. My son could crawl all around the place. He's almost a year old now, and basically all babies should walk when they're 1 year old. But not Abdul Rahman. Not anymore. He used to walk, crawl, but not anymore.
He is her only son. Polio can cause irreversible paralysis in children and is spread from person to person, mainly through feces, but also through contaminated food and water, a major problem because of Gaza's collapsed water, sewage, and sanitation systems. The virus is easily stopped through vaccination. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon, told VOA on Wednesday that the nation will support all the campaigns to bring vaccines into Gaza. VOA asked the White House how the Biden administration was pushing for this humanitarian pause. Officials said they are deeply concerned and committed to doing all we can to supporting the UN-led efforts. And a top UN official for humanitarian affairs and emergency relief stressed how dire the situation is. Joyce Musuya is acting Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator.
It forces us to ask, what has become of our basic sense of humanity?
The vaccination campaign represents a rare point of agreement in this bitter conflict, where negotiations to end the war have dragged on for months. That this is unacceptable. Anita Powell, VOA News, Washington.
It's time for our listener comments, and we begin this week's comments with Andrew Masonic from Yambio, Western Equatorial State writes, life in South Sudan is unpredictable, especially on the election process. There is no progress yet by the government or political parties. Here in Yambio, we have a bit of calm, and I'm urging the South Sudan People's Defense Forces to disarm all the communities in Yambio town. Lastly, Tanza, you need to recruit more reporters for this special program in places like Ezo, Tambura, Maridi, and even Yambio. There are many issues that needs to be heard, but there is shortage of reporters. Well, Andrew, I must tell you that we have a reporter in Yambio, and if you have professional journalists in Ezo, Tambura, Maridi, kindly forward their names to us and we'll see how we can make good use of them. Daniel Ariag Michael in Yei Town writes, hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. Health sector is one of the frame factor for citizens' life gradually becoming worse because of shortages of drugs and lack of trained medical personnel. People are suffering in various locations in South Sudan because essential medicine and qualified doctors are not there, especially here in Yei Civil Hospital. They only prescribe drugs such as paracetamol, and sometimes they refer you to a clinic that is hard to afford their drugs. I urge the government of South Sudan to provide citizens with essential medical facilities to avoid more deaths and sufferings. Sabri Isaac Hamis in Yambio writes, hello VOA team. There is urgent need for the government to fix the collapsing bridge at Awinjibul, and I also call on all partners to support fixing the bridge. Peter Goch Anyang Majangdul in Jonglei State, Bor Town, writes, with the devastating flood situation in Jonglei State, I urge the government through the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs to respond to their situation, help affected population who are displaced by the flood. Chan Malwal Alwang from Kowach Payam of Jonglei State writes, good evening, John Tanza. Flooding have affected over 800 households in Kowach Payam of PG County in Jonglei State. After heavy rains in the area affected some families who are homeless and have taken refuge in schools and church compounds. They are in their need of assistance. Thomas Kuntoch in Old Fangak Payam, Fangak County of Jonglei State writes, hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. Flood affected Chotbora Payam community when a dike broke at night around 11 p.m. on the 26th of August 2024. These people are in terrible condition as you see them in these photos. Ajit Akoi in Jonglei State writes, I welcome the move by the Agus House for summoning 10 ministers and the Commissioner General of the National Revenue Authority. We South Sudanese people are in hard times since the government did not pay civil servants for almost 10 months. And the downfall of our economy. Now, pounds has lost its value against the US dollar, exchanging at $100 for 520,000 South Sudanese pounds. At least the outcome of the summon of the ministers and the commissioner is good for our citizens, that their unpaid salaries should be paid. But we shall wait for the awards since They are always promising without action. A listener who calls himself James from Yambia writes, the presence of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces in Yambio residential areas last Monday morning brought a lot of fear to the civilians. I think they were sent to disarm, not taking civilians' belongings such as money, smartphones, and such acts should really be condemned. Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of the management of Voice of America or the South Sudan In Focus program. Keep your comments coming. We shall sample some of them every Friday because that's the only way to know that you are listening. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. I repeat, our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. Send your text or voice messages and we shall sample some of them every Friday.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What is the funniest thing to ever happen to you?
I was thinking I can cross a gutter. Unfortunately, I found myself in the gutter and everybody was laughing.
The funniest thing to ever happen to me was when I fell down in the marketplace and people were laughing. It became funny to me because I just slipped.
A lot has happened to me, but what I remember, being with my family, discussing, they get to tell me funny stories that make me happy.
The funniest thing that has ever happened to me is moving from the house, picking a vehicle, realizing I don't have money on me. How embarrassing to realize there's nothing on me, just moving out like that.
I tried to like ask somebody for money and I tried to like fix something and it didn't work. Well, I was ashamed.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
And I must say the funniest thing that happened to me was when I was trying to open the car doors using the TV remote control. That's all we had for you on our menu this Friday, August 30th, 2024. We now leave you with the song Break Your Back by Awilo Logomba. Been listening to Awilo Longomba and the song Break Your Back. Don't forget to visit www.voaafrica.com for all updates on our programs. I'm your host John Tanza, coming to you live from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer Kwame Ofori and engineer Helen, We wish you a lovely evening. Enjoy your weekend responsibly, and if you must drink, take some water. And remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.